Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Chris Sidorek.
Makes no difference now what kind of life fate hands me.
That's Ray Charles singing It Makes No Difference Now, originally by country singer-songwriter Jimmy Davis. And that song is part of Ray Charles' 1962 hit album, Modern Sounds in Country and Western Music. The first and second volumes are being reissued by Concord Records today. And joining me now in studio to talk more about the album and Ray Charles' legacy is Renee Graham, associate editor and columnist for the Boston Globe and WBUR contributor. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Chris.
We're going to have some great music in this segment. I've been looking forward to this all week. But let's start by talking a little bit about Ray Charles, his legacy. Country music's not necessarily what jumps into your mind first. What do you make of this album?
You know, here's the thing. People kind of forget, you know, Ray Charles was from the South. He was born in Georgia and raised in Florida. And he grew up listening to a lot of what he called hillbilly music. But, you know, he would hear, you know, radio broadcasts from the Grand Ole Opry. He liked country music.
So I want to start by doing a little bit of a comparison here because I think there's some really interesting takes on this album. So we're going to start with Bye Bye Love, the original version by the Everly Brothers from 1957. Let's take a little bit of a listen to that.
Bye Bye Love. Bye Bye Happiness. Hello Loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry.
All right, so that's the Everly Brothers. Now let's hear a little bit of Ray Charles. So, such a distinct style there. Can you talk a little bit about the comparison?
I mean, the thing you'll notice is it's not a country song.
Right.
You know, and what Ray Charles is doing, it's right in the title of the album, Modern Sounds in Country and Western. He's not trying to make a country album. He's taking country songs and he's making them into Ray Charles songs. So they're jazzy, they're bluesy, they're soulful. There's no twang here. You know, and so it's got, you know, you have this blast of horns, you have these great rhythms. And again, he's not trying to make a country album. That's not what he was doing. He's honoring these songs in his way.
So what did that mean for country music to take these songs and to kind of reimagine them?
You know, Willie Nelson said that the recording that Ray Charles did on this album of I Can't Stop Loving You did more for country music than any other artist. You know, it broadened the audience. You know, it broadened the audience not just for country music, but also for Ray Charles. You know, he was considered sort of the sole artist. He was having pop hits, but there were parts of the country he was certainly missing. You know, this album comes out in 1962, you know, in the middle of the civil rights movement. There were stations that weren't playing Ray Charles. There were venues that Ray Charles couldn't play. And if he played them, they might have been segregated. So this was a big deal in terms of broadening his audience and bringing his music to more people.
And it was kind of a risk, right? I mean, this is his idea, his project. He came to the record company with this idea. But it was kind of risky. He, like you said, he had already kind of established himself as a star.
Well, that's why it wasn't a risk. I mean, he was established. He was a Grammy winner. He'd had a number of top 10 hits from things like I've Got a Woman to Georgia on My Mind. He was already established. He was at a point in his career where he felt like he could do anything he wanted to do. And the big project he wanted to do was this concept album of re-recording all these country songs.
All right. So I want to do another little bit of a comparison here. Let's jump to Your Cheatin' Heart. So the original is sung by Hank Williams Sr. in 1953. You'll hear that version first, and then we will fade into the Ray Charles version.
Your cheatin' heart will make you weep. You'll cry and cry.
Your cheatin' heart will make you weep.
All right, so I know what I want to ask you, but I see you kind of shaking your head, really feeling that. What's going through your mind right now?
You know, I think, you know, I do love the Hank Williams original, but I feel like with Ray Charles, he puts meat on the bones. You know, he fleshes that song out and gives it all of this feeling that isn't necessarily there before. He understands it in a very different way. I think what Ray Charles liked about the music, and he really did record a lot of Hank Williams' music, was there were stories to tell. And that's what he wanted to do. He felt like the lyrics were a script and he was an actor and he wanted to act that song out. And you really hear that in Your Cheating Heart.
I also feel like in that example, you can hear that he really kind of respects the original version, that it's an homage to the original. You can hear the Hank Williams song in Ray Charles, even though he's making it his own.
Right. He's not sort of deconstructing these songs in some sort of weird way. He's just doing them in a Ray Charles kind of way. And that's what really made this album so special for people. He didn't alienate his original audience because they sounded like Ray Charles songs. But at the same time, he respects the original music, and I think that's a really important point to make.
Country music specifically, I think, really values kind of tradition and staying true to its style. How do you think that played into Ray Charles' approach to this album?
I mean, I think that's exactly what Ray Charles did. He stayed true to Ray Charles. He wasn't sitting there with a bunch of steel guitars, you know, and trying to sound like Hank Williams. He couldn't do it if he'd wanted to. But that's okay. He brought his own attitude and his own talents to it. You know, Ray Charles was a soul singer. And, you know, you can hear bits of soul in a way in country music. There's, you know, the way that a lot of this music came together, a lot of it was born in the South. You know, there's a lot of overlap. All he did was sort of bring out the soulful elements of this music more, but also within the context of the time with, you know, lots of strings and lots of brass and these sort of big booming choruses.
I want to come back to something you said earlier about Willie Nelson commenting about the impact that Ray Charles had on country music. Can you talk a little bit about the influence that this album had on that genre kind of moving forward?
You know, it's a funny thing. I mean, I think the big thing it did was it opened up the possibility of other artists recording country songs. You know, this comes out in 1962, and it's a massive hit. It's a number one album. You know, there's big hits off it like I Can't Stop Loving You. But 2 years later, Aretha Franklin comes along, and on one of her first albums, she records Hank Williams' Cold, Cold Heart. I don't think that would have happened if Ray Charles hadn't opened that door first.
So you mentioned I Can't Stop Loving You. It's a great excuse to listen to a little bit more music. That's a song that stayed 5 weeks at number one. Let's take a listen.
They say that time heals a broken heart, but time has stood still since we've been apart.
So that's actually one of Charles' better-known songs. What do you think it is about that song that resonates?
That just became one of his signature songs. You know, I mean, look, it, 57 years later, it can sound a little like schlocky and syrupy because of the choruses, but it's just a really beautiful love song. You know, that's the thing. I think that's what resonated with people in 1962. And really, on the strength of that song, that album was huge and such a big deal. That album came out, I think it was April of 1962. They released a sequel 6 months later. Like, they wanted to catch the wave because that's how much people related to this music.
Do you think, you said 1962, obviously the civil rights movement is going on in this country. Is there any part of this album that's a form of protest?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, I think what Ray Charles was trying to say was that sort of great statement about music being universal. It appeals to everyone. And, you know, no genre belongs to one group of people. And so here he was, a black artist, you know, playing music that is mostly associated with, you know, white Southerners, you know. And it wasn't like, well, I can't play that music or I can't relate to that music. You know, these are songs about love lost and love found. Everyone can relate to this music. And I think that's what he wanted to convey.
All right, so I know there's one song on this album in particular that really speaks to you, and so I want to play a little bit of that now. Let's take a listen.
Chance that you might love me too, or you give your hand to me, and then you say goodbye. I watch you walk away beside the lucky guy.
So tell me a little bit about what we're listening to and why it speaks to you.
That's You Don't Know Me, which was co-written by country legend Eddie Arnold. It's my favorite Ray Charles song. It's probably maybe one of the first Ray Charles songs I heard when I was a kid. There was something about the vocal that is so plaintive and painful and aching that even as a kid, even though I didn't quite understand what he was singing about, it really resonated for me. Then when you get older, you understand what unrequited love is. And now you have this perfect song, and that's what this is about. This is about a man who has this woman he's in love with, and she has no idea. And so the entire song is this internal dialogue he's having with himself as he sees her. He sees her with the man in her life and how painful it is that she'll never know how much he loves her. That song just like cracks me in half every time I hear it.
Your favorite Ray Charles song. It's not as if he has a small catalog to choose
from.
No,
I mean, look, on my, you know, I have a 50-song Ray Charles playlist. You know, I like Ray Charles, but that song is eternal. That's an evergreen song for me because the feeling of loving someone who doesn't love you back never goes away.
All right, so there's another song I want to play because I think this is a really interesting take, and if you listen to the lyrics, you might not recognize the tune, but if you listen to the lyrics, you'll recognize this song, You Are My Sunshine.
You are my sunshine.
You are my sunshine.
Oh, my only sunshine.
My only sunshine.
I mean, that's a song I sing to my kids during bedtime, and there it is swinging, and it's so crazy that you have to really listen to the words to hear, to recognize that for what it is.
I mean, you know, it's a song you sing in summer camp.
Right,
you know?
Right,
it's sort of easy and it's frivolous. And again, he gives this song all this this blood and this body to it, and he makes it really cool. You know, it's a love song, and for the first time you actually hear that.
So I want to ask you, this album, one of the reasons it's coming out now, Black History Month, it's been kind of a tumultuous Black History Month. We had the blackface controversy. We had Jussie Smollett. How do you see this album and the way it resonates today in terms of where we're at in our current moment?
Well, I mean, look, in terms of Black History Month, it was 2019. You know, Black History Month never stood a chance, right? But, you know, here's a moment to sort of, you know, look at something classic, something evergreen, something that people could still listen to and feel good about, you know, and what Ray Charles did. And this wasn't a one-off, you know. I mean, this was almost really, really close to the beginning of his career, and he's going to continue making music for another 40 years. And he continued to make country music, and I think that's what we have to keep getting back to. You know, the idea that this music is for everyone, you know, that it's not a country album, so people need to be scared by that. But the fact that it isn't a country album shouldn't scare people away either. This is just extraordinarily made, produced, and sung great American music.
All right, last question. When I say Ray Charles, what do you think of?
I think of one of the greatest artists ever.
Tough to top that. All right, so we're going to go out with a song that to me is really special because it takes me right back to my grandfather's living room and listening to his record player, Hey Good Looking. And I just want to say thanks so much for coming in, Renee. This was so much fun. Renee Graham, associate editor and columnist for the Boston Globe and WBUR contributor. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Chris.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Paris Alston, Zoe Mitchell, Eve Zukoff, and Walt Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Chris Siderick. Join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.
So if you want to have fun, come along with me. So hey, good looking. What? You got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?